Matt Damon crying in Good Will Hunting, and who else but Will Ferrell boo-hooing in The Anchorman. But how often do you see men in real life cry? Sandra Newman wrote the piece Man Weeping for the digital magazine Eon. Sandra, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you.
In your piece, you write that until recently, grown men actually forced themselves to cry publicly because they wanted to impress their friends. Things have really changed, haven't they?
They have. They've really changed, both for men and women, but obviously much more for men. In the past, until roughly a few hundred years ago, it was still considered laudable for men to express their feelings. And we have lots of evidence of this. There were various reasons that it was required to cry, particularly when you were petitioning the king, when you were petitioning your lord for something, you would get down on your knees and you would express your feelings about your suit by crying. And it was the sort of thing that parents advised their sons to learn how to do.
And it was so common that it shows up over and over again in literature from the time.
That's right. What you see in a lot of medieval romances is that the hero, whenever he gets into a spot, will lament loudly and burst into tears. So we have Lancelot, who cries the first time he's separated from Guinevere, and also bursts into tears when he feels that he's not going to be allowed to go to an important tournament. And he's actually crying on the shoulder of a woman who, instead of making fun of him, and this is one of the features that we see, is that nobody makes fun of these men or considers them effeminate. In fact, they're all sympathetic, and they often begin to cry in response and sympathy. So the woman whose shoulder Lancelot is crying on immediately fixes things and allows him to go to the tournament. So he gets his own way like a six-year-old.
Sure. And you also point out Homer's Iliad, in which the entire Greek army burst into unanimous tears three times. And these are pretty manly men.
They are the manliest. They are the manliest men, but it's normal. They all burst into tears. And, you know, clearly there's an aspect of public performance. And, you know, we assume that this didn't happen exactly as written, of course. But that's considered to be the normal behavior. It occurs in the Bible, and it occurs in medieval romances. There are scenes in Shakespeare's plays where the entire Roman army bursts into tears.
When did crying become such an unpopular thing?
We don't really know. And the reason that we don't know is that there doesn't seem to have been any kind of official anti-crying movement. There weren't treatises written theorizing that crying might be effeminate. It just seems to have gradually shifted that way. And I have some theories about why that is. We see through the early modern era and much more in the industrial era that intimacy becomes much and much less of a feature of everyday life. So in medieval times, most people lived their entire lives in a village, which would typically have from 50 to 300 inhabitants. And there have been studies done that show that the way that you feel about tears afterwards is very strongly influenced by who you cry in front of. So if you have cried alone, or if you have cried in front of one very supportive person, a person you know very well, you feel better after you cry. Mm. If you cry in public, if you're crying in a business meeting, you do not feel better.
No, you feel bad.
Another reason which didn't actually make it into the article, I think, has to do with the rise of democracy. There's an association of tears with helplessness. They're a plea. Mm. And in medieval times, until quite recently, it was considered to be completely appropriate for grown men to be helpless with regard to their king, with regard to their lord. And we were all meant to be helpless when we were facing our God.
But now it makes people feel uncomfortable.
It does. We are all supposed to be autonomous. We are supposed to be the lords of our own lives. And we are not supposed to demean ourselves, humiliate ourselves in front of other people, even if they have a position of authority with regard to us.
One of the reasons I wanted to talk to you is because of a personal experience that I recently had. I cried at work, and I feel kind of culturally compelled to say it didn't have anything to do with the job that I was doing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, something was going on in my personal life. I cried at work. People saw it happening, and I felt mortified. It was almost as bad as whatever it was that was causing me to cry in the first place. I was like, people will never look at me the same way, I thought. And so I don't see us going back to the time of Homer anytime soon.
It's actually not particularly good for us to repress our emotions and to lie about our emotions, which is what it ultimately can amount to. And this leads to, in men, the fact that depression is much less likely to be diagnosed in men, and that means it's much less likely to be treated, and that leads to things like the much higher suicide rate in men, higher rates of alcoholism, higher rates of drug addiction in men. If we were comfortable expressing our emotions, laughing, crying in front of each other, it might make our workday a lot smoother and it might make us function better together as a team.
It might, but I can think of a lot of people out there who would still be very uncomfortable with that. Sandra Newman wrote the piece, Men Weeping, for the online magazine Eon. Sandra, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.